Praise the Lord. Message number 56. The title of the message, Sheltering Our Children is God's Mandate for Holiness, Part 4. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless this time and use it for your glory. Put words and verses in my lips and statement to encourage your people to walk faithfully, Lord, in your way. Lord, we do pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your people. Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach your people who are waiting to hear your word and apply them in their life. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We will continue today speaking about the things that we need to protect or shelter our children from its harms and dangers. We as a parent, as mature in the Lord, we are the shepherds or the pastors for their children. We need to nurture them and raise them up in the fear and in the ways of the Lord, and we need to direct them in the way they need to go and move. As we have more experience in life, and as we know more about God and His Word, then we are the right people to direct our children in the right way. One of the hazards and and the thing that we need to cut off and plug out and gouge out from the life of our children is premature and unauthorized romance. God had directed us to shelter our children from premature and unauthorized romance or love relationship between the opposite sex and spare them the trouble of that. The issue is not only in the enduring to survive the 10 years physically pure, but as well as the emotional purity. It is not that we protect our children from not doing sex, but even emotionally they should remain pure. Premarital sex is sin. There is no discussion about it. There is no doubt about it. But here, what we want to emphasize here, it is not only the physical purity for our children needed until marriage, but also the emotional purity is also mandatory until they are married. Paul make it clear in First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6 when he said that no one should go beyond and defraud his brother in this matter. The point here, we should not defraud one another the emotional aspect as well. Not only physically we should not defraud one another, but also emotionally we should not defraud one another, and or we should not allow our children to defraud other people's children physically and even emotionally. If we will read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 1 to 8, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, warning them about sexual immorality and not to live as the pagans are, living in lust and in immorality. What he say in his letter, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. We should notice that it is not enough to draw a line and commit ourselves not to go beyond in physical morality. We must also commit ourselves not to defraud others emotionally and romantically. Nowadays, boyfriend and girlfriend are so prevalent among the youth, and some they boast about it. The youth they boast about it, and some of their parents also they boast about it. But that is a very dangerous situation. Boyfriend and girlfriend are not mentioned in the scripture, and many of such relationships are never end up with marriage, but with emotional frustration, broken heart syndrome due to failure in love, and also disappointment, frustration, that is on the emotional level. On the physical level, premarital sex, sex before marriage, pregnancy without marriage, abortions, or children not in a family context, living single parent status with children they don't meet their father or mother. These all the consequences of defrauding one another or taking advantage of one another physically and emotionally. What is the word defrauding? In business transaction, it is cheating. It is causing another to desire and expect something that will not be legitimately fulfilled. And that is what is happening in the romantic relationship. It happened, yes. When people they have dating and they will go for dating, everyone expects something from another, and some they will give their emotion and feelings. But most of this dating will end up in failure. Most of you who listen to the message, You had regret your past, you have regret your past romantic relationship. And still, till now, some of you are grieved by that relationship that you had passed through and was a failure. And it caused you much pain. Many marriages also suffer from the baggage of a previous emotional bonds that continue to impact the current marital relationship. Somebody who is married but still what had happened in the past and his relationship with another person still continue in his mind, or even it truly continue even he's married now, or even she's married now. God call us to spare our children such regrets and such dangerous things. The best modern term for what Paul calls defrauding is flirting. Flirting is entice boy or girls and appeal to their emotion and engage in emotional romantic love relationship. I challenge young people, and we are as parents, and you as parents, you must challenge your children to commit themselves to avoid flirting as emotional promiscuity. It is like adultery. It is adultery in the heart. It is emotional hurting and possibly can lead to a physical harassment and contact and sex and the rest of the consequences of that sin. The broken heart syndrome of the dating of the dating pattern that some of you are suffering are not a good pattern for our children to follow and to adopt in their life. It is not a preparation for marital blessing, but it is a preparation for divorce, breaking up, and emotional hurt, and the rest of instability and failure in family life and the marital future life. We need to guard our children. We need to protect them from such things. In the Bible, there is no pattern of boyfriend or girlfriend. There is no pattern of dating. That is not in the Bible. What is in the Bible, what we find, is not dating, it is not flirting. There is no courtship in the Bible. What the scripture pattern teach us is moving from singleness to marriage without defrauding, without emotional liability, without romance. The scripture pattern make it possible for a young man to be a one woman man emotionally as well as physically through marriage. How this it can be, how the single can move from single to get married without these things, without courtship or flirting or defrauding, or courtship or dating. There is a godly preparation for marriage. We can read that in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. When God created Adam, He prepared him for marriage. Physically, he was prepared. God prepared him a place for living in the Garden of Eden. And the place was well equipped and well provided. There was all kinds of tree around to eat, a source for living. It was there. The Garden of Eden was watered by four rivers. In some of the rivers, they have gold and other important stones that are precious stones as a source to support the living of the family. So, preparation for marriage for our children, they need physically be prepared. They should have job, as God provide job for Adam to work in the garden. They should have job, they should have income. There should be a place that they live and they can keep a family, a wife and children. Place should be well equipped. That is from the physical aspect, physical preparation. Second, they should be spiritually prepared. They should know God, the Word of God. They know the Word of God and the rule of God. They know what is right and wrong. They should know not to eat from the tree of knowing good and evil. They should know what is allowed to them to do. They should know what is not allowed to them. They should know God's way before marriage. Spiritually, so they need to be fit. And third, they should be mature. As God tested Abraham when he brought him the animals and he named the animal, he proved that he is a mature, responsible person. Three things, when they are available in the life of our children, they have income, they can support themselves and family, they have a place, a potential place to keep the family, and there's resources to support the family, plus they are spiritually fit, they know God, they know His Word, they know the way of the Lord. In addition to that, they are mature, they are responsible people. When there is that stage, then that is the time for us to start to pray and ask the Lord to lead them and to lead us with them, so that they will be having their right partner. Before that, don't think about marriage for your children. Don't even pray for a partner if they don't have this criteria. And even don't allow your children to go and have relationship, friendship, or emotional contact with any other children, with any other youth, because that is not the time for them to get married. If they are ready for marriage, then we pray. And when we are sure that God has sent the right person, God should make it clear. Not that we teach our children to choose, or we choose for them. No, we pray and we kneel down at the feet of Jesus, and God will bring the right person, the right partner. And when He will bring the right person, He will confirm that to us and to them. When it is confirmed, then we prepare them for marriage. While we are preparing for marriage, and everything is sure, and is confirmed, then that is the time that we can allow our children, allow my daughter, allow my son to give his heart and love to that particular boy or girl. Now what we understand here, that love should be after marriage, after we are confirmed that that is your partner from the Lord, then you can show your emotional love to him. But the opposite is not correct. What is going on now, the people, they fall in love. After they fall in love, they want to get married to that person. That is not the way. It means that you are dictating your own will on God. But what is, according to the scripture, when God brings the right partner to you, then that is the time you allow your heart to love that person and you prepare for marriage. That's what the Bible tells us about preparation for marriage. There's no dating or courting or choosing. When our children are mature, physically and spiritually fit, then we pray for the right person. And God will bring the right person, and after it is confirmed, and there will be agreement for marriage, clear, and that's where here the period of betrothal, according to the Bible, the period of betrothal is a period where the man and woman, as if they are married, but there is no physical union with them. And that's what the Bible tells us. When Mary was pledged to Joseph, we can read that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Those who are betrothed, they consider them as married, and when there is separation, they are advising to give a divorce certificate. You see here, he had in mind to divorce her. They are not yet physically united, but they are married because there is agreement. Now that is here where the point here. There is no love relationship or courting or flirting unless it is confirmed that is the person that I am going to marry. It is not that I love first. No, I follow God, I obey God. And when God brings the right person and it is confirmed, and during the betrothal period is the period that I can show my romance to the person that I am going to marry, to the person that I am going to have physical union soon. That is the pattern the Bible Tell us. We should guard our children, not only physically, but emotionally. We should not let them go into love relationship. But there's no foundation for marriage. They are not yet ready. How they we allow them to intermingle with the opposite sex? And they get hurt physically, and even if not only physically, but emotionally, it's just enough emotionally, if they get fallen to love, how much they will suffer. Their hearts will be broken, they will have frustration, disappointments, sadness, they get hurt, and that will bring fear in their heart about the possibility of marriage in the future or having a family. We need to shelter our children. It's very simple. Don't put it in your mind and don't put it in the mind of your child about marriage unless they are physically very prepared, spiritually they are fit, and maturity they are responsible people. Physically they have a job, an income, resources and a place to keep the family and to maintain it. Spiritually, they know what is right or wrong and they are followers of God. Otherwise, we will not have godly children. Third is they are mature. They are responsible. That is the time when all these three aspects are available. We pray to the Lord. Direct us and lead us. Lord, bring the right person to my child, to my daughter, to my son, so that they will have a godly family. When the Lord brings the right person, after we are sure and it is confirmed by the children who have received vision from the Lord, confirmed to us by the Lord, and the church also confirm it, then we go forward and prepare them for a date to get married and physically united and become one. After we are sure, while we are preparing for marriage, and there's a date, that is the time that they can express and they can build a healthy emotional relationship. A man preparing himself to love his wife, and the wife preparing herself to love her husband. That is what the Bible tells us. But boyfriend and girlfriends and dating and courting and flirting, and still they are in the study, and still they don't know their right from their left, and still they don't know even how to manage their personal things. They are not aware about life. They are not mature. Physically they don't have income. And we should not allow them during this dangerous period to get involved in any premature and unauthorized romance. That is one of the great danger for our youth. We really need to work it hard with the Lord and with them. We need to shelter our children from this hazard. We have to cut it away, and we should apply the principle of the Word of God. First principle, they need to be ready physically, spiritually, and they are mature for marriage. Second, we need to pray for the right partner. When it comes, then that is the time we put a date for marriage. After it is confirmed by everyone and the church, And God confirmed it. The Holy Spirit spoke clearly. Then, at this time, as we prepare them for that date of physical union, we allow them to give their heart to one another and prepare their mind to live in the coming near future with their partner in the context of the family. The other hazard that we need to protect our children, another important aspect for their life, is about dress. For the dress of our children, what we don't want our children to dress with in the future, we should not allow them to wear it when they are children. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pure or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Paul wants women to dress modestly. No part of the body should be exposed. No shoulder, no breast, no abdomen, no thighs. This area need to be covered. No short skirts. No open exposed shoulders or arms. This all enticement and cause temptation for themselves and for the men. These are all cause for men to fall into sin. The purpose of dress is not only to protect the body from cold or heat, but is also a matter of modesty. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 7, after Adam and Eve, they sinned against the Lord, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. They get fig tree leaves and sewed together, and they put it on themselves to cover themselves, just to cover the naked part, their breasts and their genitalia and their thighs, but the rest of the body is exposed. But what the Lord did in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God did not accept they will wear fig leaves just to cover the naked part of their body, but he covered them with a skin animal. He made garments and covered their exposed part of their bodies. What we don't agree that our children will wear when they are adult, when they are small, from that time we need to teach them how to dress, underwear, and long sleeve, no shoulder exposed, no thighs exposed, no leg exposed, no breast exposed. They must know that the parts of their body are not to show off. They need to cover them. Especially this, I am speaking about the girls. Dress should be minimum 2 or below knees. Better below the knees. And upper arm should be covered with the chest. No abdomen, no back exposed. That our daughters and our children should know these things. These areas is important, because when they are old and they had been taught to wear something indecent, that will make them more liable for temptation and cause others to be tempted and fall into sin. The other important point that we want to speak, to protect and to shelter our children from, is the idolatry of academic standardization. Nowadays, everyone wants to bring up his child in the best school, and they should go to a best college, and they will finish one study and they must go for higher study. I am not saying that we should not allow our children to study. No, education is important. Education is very important, not only important, but we must realize that success and prosperity is from the Lord when we obey God. And that's the principle that our children should know, and we should raise them on that. It is the Lord who is going to bless you and prosper you as you do your best to obey the Lord and walk in His ways. Our children, they should know the word of God. We should teach them God's word and God's ways in life. Godliness, they must know. And also, they must study, so they will be aware how to handle things around them. But the study is not a form of competition. The best is that you will homeschool them, and we choose to them the curriculum, the godly curriculum that is Bible based, and we'll be the one to teach them. They will have the basic teaching about the language, math, and the other important subject, and that's all can be from the Bible. The Bible is rich in math, in word building, in grammar, in history, geography, and they are good curriculum from the Bible, and we need to adapt that in our home schooling for our children. When they are growing and time for them to have as well as some sort of a profession, the Lord will lead us to what study they need to take for certain particular skill, so that they can earn their living. If the Lord lead us to put our children in college, We put them as the Lord provide. If the Lord directs us to put our children in institute or some correspondence study or some sort of a training so they can have a job and income, we do that also. But we should not be pushing our children to get higher and higher study because we want our children to compete with others or to compare them to others so that we are doing all that for them. When we focus on measuring the progress of our children's study with the peer group, we find ourselves preparing our children for exam and test rather than preparing them to face life. Most parents are quite concerned that their children maintain their grade level and score well on standardized tests. When we focus on measuring progress with such comparisons, then we are moving toward conformity to the worldly agenda rather than being directed by the Spirit to prepare our children for life in the future. To make it point very simple, education is important, but God first. The Lord, when He directs us to educate our children further than the basic teaching that they need to receive from God's Word and His way, the Lord shall lead us, will provide for us the material needed on the subject that our children should concentrate so that we'll be prepared themselves to live for God, having a profession and income to support them and support their families in the future. We almost cover all the areas that we need to shelter our children, and I encourage you to hear these messages. And if you have doubt, you can contact me personally. You can go to the Word of God and study more and see how God and His Word can direct us in raising up godly children. Let's pray. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your Word that make things clear to us, O God. I pray, Lord, that Your Word break bondages and release Your people. O Lord, Lord, we pray that Your love will guide the parents to follow You, to protect their children from premature and unauthorized Lord romance, to protect also the children, Lord, from dress and that not to glorify You. We pray that every parent will discipline his child not to wear something indecent, but Lord, they will teach the children to wear a dress that glorify You, and all the parts of their body will be covered in the name of Jesus. And I pray also, God, I pray, Lord, as You say in Your Word, knowledge puff us, but love build us. We pray that we as a parent will not focus on knowledge only, but imparting the Word of God and the love of God in the life of our children, and encourage them to obey you and follow you, Lord, because from you comes success and prosperity. We do pray, O God, help us as we commit ourselves to do our part for you. Help us, O Lord, to endeavor and walk faithfully in your ways, O God. Help us, Lord, help each and every parent to do all what is required for your children, for their children, according to your ways. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hands be with us, and keep us from harm, so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.